An interlude, I guess.
Interlude to 8 and 9.
So now we'll go on to item number 8. And I mentioned to the Monterey folks we may need to go out of order, but we're not going to do that. We're going to go in order. Sorry about that. So item number 8 concerns the city of Salinas stormwater development standards. And I'll just remind you, I think Matt's going to mention this in his presentation, but I want to remind you, and Chair Young, you weren't here at the last meeting. So in terms of context, we actually had this on the agenda last time. It was possible the board could have acted on it. We recommended, and the city agreed, that it would be best to work some more on it in the intervening couple of months until this board meeting. So it's back after being deferred from the last board meeting. Matt Thompson of our staff will present the item.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm recusing myself from this item to avoid the appearance of bias.
Okay. You don't appear to be biased to me. But you're...
Good afternoon, Chairman Young and board members. I'm Matt Thompson, senior engineer with the stormwater unit, presenting item number 8 in your agenda package. I'm going to take about 10 minutes to tell you what has happened since we last discussed this item in July, before I recommend you adopt a resolution approving the Salinas stormwater development standards with a list of required revisions. But before I jump into my presentation, I wanted to tell you a little bit about this figure displayed on the screen. This is a GIS map of the Lower Salinas Valley and the Monterey Peninsula, depicting the two most intense land uses in that area. The green areas represent irrigated agriculture. The orange and red areas represent impervious surfaces. You can see the impervious area of Salinas in this area is roughly equivalent to the greater Monterey area. However, unlike Monterey, Salinas is inland, where and such that, you know, urbanization has the potential to further modify waterways downstream of the city. Now, as a reminder of why we're here today, this item is a continuation of an item you considered at your July 11 meeting in Watsonville. At that meeting, staff discussed its review of the draft development standards, comments prepared by the Low Impact Development Center of Maryland, how Salinas involved the public in development of the development standards, and the status of future growth in Salinas. You heard and considered comments by Salinas staff and several interested persons, including environmental organizations and members of the Salinas business community. Staff emphasized the importance of getting the development standards in place as soon as possible to ensure future growth is properly designed and conditioned during Salinas' development review and approval process. You agreed with staff to delay consideration of development standards approval until Salinas could revise the document to address the LID Center's comments and your feedback. Prior to the July 11 meeting, staff had requested Salinas begin revising the development standards to address comments prepared by the LID Center of Maryland. Immediately following that meeting, I met with Salinas City Engineer Carl Niizawa and his technical consultants to further explain revisions staff requested before it would recommend approval of the development standards. Staff documented these revisions in a July 17th letter to the city. This letter is attached to the staff report for this item. In summary, staff's letter directed Salinas to revise the development standards to address all of the LID Center's comments, to include measurable and enforceable criteria to control hydromodification, and also to clearly require a study defining pre-development hydrology. In response to this request, Salinas staff and consultants worked quickly and submitted revised development standards on July 28th. I'll subsequently refer to this as the July 25th version of the development standards. Staff reviewed the revised development standards and found Salinas responded to all three of staff's requested revisions. However, staff found Salinas's proposed criteria inadequate to ensure future growth is designed to prevent erosion and protect stream habitat, as required by Salinas's NPDES permit. Salinas incorporated numeric criteria for runoff flow control, but the criteria are based on Salinas's existing flood control standards. These standards are not intended to prevent erosion and protect stream habitat. These flood control standards are intended to send runoff from small storms downstream as quickly as possible before runoff from the larger Gavilan watershed reaches the city. As written, the July 25th standards do not completely fulfill permit requirements nor meet your maximum extent practicable standard. In order to prevent flooding and prevent erosion and protect stream habitat, Salinas must have criteria that will lead applicants to design development projects to mimic natural hydrology, not just limit peak discharge rates. I put together some figures to illustrate what I mean. First, to orient you, this is a map of the Reclamation Ditch watershed, which was prepared for a watershed study by the Watershed Institute at CSU Monterey Bay for Monterey County Water Resources Agency. The red line delineates the 157 square mile watershed of the Salinas Reclamation Ditch. Here is the city of Salinas, and here is the Gavilan Creek, which flows out of the Gavilan Mountains, down through the foothills and into Salinas in the Carr Lake area, where it is joined by flow from Natividad Creek and Alisal Creek. After Carr Lake, it becomes the Salinas Reclamation Ditch, essentially a man-made channel, which flows westward along the flat plain of the Salinas Valley until it reaches the Tembladero Slough and the Castroville area. All of this runoff eventually discharges into the south arm of Moss Landing Harbor. The teal-colored areas are areas that flooded in March 1995, which was considered less than a 25-year storm, but it happened after a big storm in January of that year that had saturated the watershed, so there was extensive flooding. You can see the flooded areas include the Carr Lake, which acts like a huge detention system for the Gavilan, Natividad, and Alisal Creek flows. Salinas's future growth areas are north and east of the city, and these areas. I'm about to show you a series of conceptual hydrographs which represent runoff conditions at approximately this location on Gavilan Creek, immediately downstream of a major future growth area. This first conceptual hydrograph represents the existing condition at this location. The horizontal axis is time, and the vertical axis is flow. The small hydrograph represents runoff from the undeveloped area slated for future growth. The area under the curve represents the volume of runoff coming out of the drainage area. The larger hydrograph represents runoff from the larger Gavilan watershed. Currently, the peak of the small hydrograph occurs prior to the peak of the large hydrograph because the Gavilan watershed runoff takes longer to reach the city. The two flows don't add up to exacerbate flooding. If the future growth area were developed in a conventional manner without any storm runoff control, time of concentration would decrease and the peak discharge rate would increase, and the hydrograph for the small area would peak, something like this. This can cause localized flooding and damage waterways. Engineers have traditionally controlled this through detention basins, which are designed to bleed out a larger volume of flow over a longer period of time. Salinas has historically required detention systems to be designed to limit flows to the pre-project 10-year peak discharge. The second figure illustrates what would happen if the future growth area were developed in a conventional manner with detention systems designed to limit flow to the pre-project 10-year peak discharge. Runoff from the future growth area would continue into the period when the pulse of runoff is coming down from the larger Gabalon watershed. This additional volume, represented by this shaded area here, could exacerbate flooding in Salinas. This is exactly what low-impact development is intended to prevent. A properly designed low-impact development will mimic natural hydrology, not just limit peak discharge rates. I'll show you this in this last figure. Low-impact development mimics natural hydrology by maintaining natural runoff patterns, minimizing imperviousness, distributing stormwater control throughout the development, and maximizing infiltration. In order to properly design and implement low-impact development, criteria must lead a project applicant to control smaller, high-frequency storms, not just limit flow to the pre-project 10-year peak discharge. Contra Costa County has a guidebook which is considered an excellent example of criteria that accomplishes this. This figure is taken from a brand new manual prepared by the Center for Watershed Protection and Tetra Tech to guide municipalities in building effective post-construction programs. This horizontal line marked 10-year represents the volume criteria necessary to control minor flooding. The line marked CP represents volume criteria necessary to protect stream channels from erosion. The line marked WQ represents volume criteria necessary to control water quality. You can see that the water quality volume criteria is the most stringent of the three. If a development project is designed to control the volume necessary to protect water quality, then it should also protect channels and prevent flooding. Stormwater managers call this the nested approach to stormwater control. Stormwater managers are coming to agreement that capturing the volume of runoff from the 85th or 90th percentile storm event is necessary to control water quality. The criteria contained in Salinas' development standards, and which staff is proposing be promoted to the requirements section of the document, will control runoff from the 85th percentile storm event. Therefore, should also protect downstream channels from erosion and flooding. Before I move away from this hydrology discussion, I'd like to address written comments that erosion is not a problem in the Salinas Reclamation Ditch system. These statements are not consistent with literature regarding hydrology in this area. Displayed here is an excerpt from the Salinas Reclamation Ditch Watershed Assessment and Management Strategy, which was prepared by the Watershed Institute for Monterey County Water Resources Agency. This is the same study produced the watershed map I displayed in my previous slide. That study states that with the anticipated development of the watershed upstream of the current urban boundary, channel erosion rates are likely to increase and lead to increased maintenance costs. Over the past 50 years, bank erosion throughout the reclamation ditch has increased, most noticeably in and downstream of the city of Salinas. What I interpret this to mean is that even though the Salinas reclamation ditch is a highly channelized system, it is subject to modification, just like Santa Rita Creek and other streams draining the future growth area. Now, moving along, on August 6th, Monterey Coastkeeper submitted technical comments on the development standards prepared by Dan Cloak Environmental Consulting, which is attachment 2 to the staff report. Dan Cloak is a civil and environmental engineer that led development of the Contra Costa guidebook. Mr. Cloak suggested revisions to the Salinas development standards language that clearly and concisely address the criteria deficiencies I just discussed. Mr. Cloak also suggested adding language regarding source control best management practices. Mr. Cloak's letter concluded that, quote, the relatively modest edits proposed in this letter would bring the development standards closer to the practicable efforts being implemented by some other California Phase 1 municipal NPDES permittees. So in response to deficiencies in the July 25th version of the development standards, staff prepared a draft table of required revisions. Staff revised this draft table just yesterday in response to recent public comments. So please refer to the revised version of the table of required revisions in your folders, not the version in your agenda.
Yeah, it's the revision of September 3rd, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. It's in your folders. I'd also be glad to display the revised version on the screen later if you'd like me to. Now, staff's original draft table of required revisions included all language changes suggested by Dan Cloak, except for
Matt, if I could just make sure. Does everyone have a copy of this who's interested in this item? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I emailed it to all known interested persons yesterday, okay. And there are copies in the back for item number 8 if you don't have it.
Great.
Now, as I was saying, staff's original draft table of required revisions included all language changes suggested by Dan Cloak, except for slight changes to a couple of source control best management practices. However, in response to comments we received this week from the Salinas Chamber of Commerce, Salinas' engineer, and the Salinas mayor, we have revised the table to remove Dan Cloak's specific list of source control best management practices and restore Salinas' original reference to the BMP selection matrix in Development Standards Section 2.3 and the California Stormwater Quality Association guidebook. We made these changes to address the commenter's concern that Dan Cloak's suggested source control BMPs would adversely affect the agriculture industry. So accompanying the table of required revisions is Draft Water Board Resolution R3-2008-68, which is Staff Report Attachment 4. This resolution approves the development standards contingent on Salinas incorporating all the required revisions into the development standards within 30 days. Requiring revisions through adoption of a resolution is the most efficient and effective approach to finalizing the development standards. That was attachment 4. Attachment 4 to the staff report is the proposed resolution.
Not in the original packet, but sent out just this week?
No, in the original packet. In your agendas, the resolution has not changed.
Okay.
What has changed is the table of required revisions that accompanies it. So. Okay, moving on. Staff notified all known interested persons that you will consider adoption of the revised development standards at this meeting and requested written comments. Staff received comments from stakeholder committee member Robin Lee, the Salinas Chamber of Commerce, local civil engineer and stakeholder Ken Tunstall, Deputy City Engineer Carl Niizawa, and Salinas Mayor Dennis Donahue. Late yesterday, staff received comment letters from local architect Raymond Lino Belli and the Natural Resources Defense Council. Staff sent you the first two comment letters along with staff responses via supplemental sheet late last week, so hopefully you've seen that already. Now, the revised table of required revisions I just discussed is staff's response to comments by Ken Tunstall, the Salinas engineer, and the mayor, and Raymond Belli. In response to comments that the development standards should be specific to Salinas, staff agrees. The numeric design criteria staff included in its table of required revisions were developed by Salinas' technical consultant and are specific to Salinas. As I discussed earlier, this criteria will lead the development community to design projects to control smaller, high-frequency storms that cause stream degradation, not just limit peak discharges. Now, the Natural Resources Defense Council letter supports some of staff's proposed required revisions and suggests minor changes to others. I found that none of NRDC's suggested changes are necessary to bring the document up to the maximum extent practicable standard, so I am not recommending any further changes to the table of required revisions. Staff would like the Salinas Stormwater Development Standards. Excuse me, missed that one. Staff would like the Salinas Stormwater Development Standards to be approved and implemented as soon as possible to ensure imminent future growth is properly controlled. The development standards, with staff's proposed revisions, should lead the development lead to development that mimics natural hydrology, controls flooding, prevents downstream erosion, and protects stream habitat. Staff recommends you adopt Resolution 68 to approve the Salinas Development Standards contingent on Salinas incorporating all the revisions listed in the table of required revisions. Thank you. I'd be glad to take any questions you have.
Dr. Press.
So one of the key issues here is how the BMP design and selection matrices in Section 2.3 differ or are similar to what different stakeholders have suggested, supported, opposed, and so on. Taking Mr. Cloke's recommendations, how does staff feel that the BMP design and selection matrices compare in detail and adequacy to Mr. Cloke's?
Great question. In my opinion, Dan Cloke's suggested specific list of source control best management practices is stronger. It's promoted right into the document, and it's right there for the development applicant to see. The way the July 25th document is currently written is it points to what we call a selection matrix. And so depending on what type of development you have would determine what kind of source control BMPs you need to employ. And the guidance on how to actually implement those source control BMPs are found in a separate document, the California Stormwater Quality Association's guidebook. Now, the California Stormwater Quality Association's guidebook is very good. It actually goes into a lot more detail than Dan Cloke's specific list does on how to actually design and implement these things. So, in summary, they're functionally equivalent. It's just that but Dan Cloke's is probably stronger because it's right there in the document.
Okay, so thinking about how somebody would use these standards, they're preparing planning documents and they're preparing development. They turn to the development standards. They are directed to the BMP design and selection matrices. Are those going to be in a Salinas City manual, imported whole cloth from the other document from the Watershed Association that you mentioned, or are they? In other words, I'm trying to get a sense of the automaticity here that's going on. How automatic is it going to be for somebody to come in? They look at the document, they say, "Oop, that points me with a big bold arrow that says go here, look there, go through this decision tree," and there better not be too many steps, or you're not going to get compliance. You're not going to get.
Yeah, you know, I tried to put myself in the shoes of an engineer designing a development, and I approached review of the document that way. If I were to open this thing up, would it point me to the right place? And I was able to figure it out. I realized that you go to the design, the BMP selection matrices, you determine which ones you need to have, and then you go to the CASQA guidebook to figure out how to do it.
Yeah,
I like that approach because the CASQA guidebook is evolving. I mean, this is an evolving science, these source control best management practices. And so by referencing that document or incorporating that document by reference into the development standards, it allows for that flexibility.
I'm not sure I like that because you can continue to incorporate an evolving document. merely by the fact or by virtue of updating your city. I mean, I assumed that the city of Salinas would produce a guidebook or a manual for the development community in Salinas, and that that manual would be continually tweaked and refined and updated. So I would be more in favor of importing that design, those design and selection matrices, the actual BMPs themselves, whole cloth into the standards that Salinas used, because you can't get more plain and straightforward than that. If you really like them, if you really think that they're appropriate, pull them in. Don't have them referred out. I think BMPs are they're only as good as how they're selected and implemented and evaluated. And if you've got a bottleneck at any one of those spots, selection, implementation, and evaluation, then you're not going to get the best result. So let's make it even easier.
Yeah. I hear you. And if the board were willing to entertain having that right in the document, maybe there's an alternative way to do this. And that's that there seems to be one of Dan Cloke's list of specific best management practices that gave the Salinas community a lot of heartburn. And that was one that required outdoor processing areas
covered. I saw that.
This list of specific source control best management practices came directly from Contra Costa County. Mm-hmm. And so where there might not be a lot of agricultural processing like there is in Salinas. So an alternative way to do this could be to restore staff's original revision with the list of specific best management practices, but tweak that one source control best management practices to clearly provide an exception for agricultural processes.
Well, that's a possibility. I'm sure we'll discuss it, but I'm just looking for very, very specific, very clear in the document that everybody who is going to use has in front of them. So we'll see where that goes.
Matt, don't forget you're a civil engineer that's used to reading and deciphering regulatory documents. And I don't know that we need to be careful when we make assumptions generally about who's going to be doing this work. I don't know that the city will necessarily have an engineer, you know, doing the work you think is going to be done, perhaps, maybe not always. But it does take, you know, an eye to, you know, following where to go. When you state that Dan's recommendations are stronger, and I think that's the word you used, do you mean stronger in terms of water quality protection, ultimately? Because to me, that's what this is all about.
I think a better word would have been more clear.
More clear, okay.
Because they're right there in the document.
Okay.
They're promoted right into the document, okay. And it would be easy for a plan checker, whoever at the city is going to be checking for development projects for compliance with the standards, to just check.
Which is what Dr. Press is referring to, that he likes it because of that reason. Yeah, you go directly from A to D instead of through the whole coursework. And then, just to play devil's advocate with this, just because there's a lot of ag that may have to react or respond to this, in my mind, it doesn't mean that there should be any lessening of the requirement. I mean, if the activity, regardless of what it is contributing to water quality degradation, then it needs to do something. Now, you know, I'll feel comfortable with this if both of these recommendations are going to get to the same end result.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would politely remind you that those ag processing facilities are still prohibited from discharging waste to Salinas' stormwater system.
Right, right. And could you show us the that particular, the objectionable or the controversial.
Sure, glad to.
And
you can also see this in attachment 5 in the original agenda package, but I'll go to it here. It's required revision number 4. Again, this is the original table of required revisions. This is dated August 13.
Was it G or J? It was J.
It's beginning on page
4.
It says it's the underlined font shown here. It says the applicant's stormwater control plan should identify each potential source within the project and incorporate corresponding source control BMPs into the project design, including the following. And then it goes through a list of several specific source control BMPs. The one that I was mentioning is this one, number F. It says all industrial processes and activities are to be performed indoors, and no processes may drain to the exterior of the storm drain system.
Okay, so suppose I have a winery, and I have my hoppers outside, and my tank press outside on a pad. That's an industrial process. It wouldn't be a good idea to bring that inside. I'm bringing gondolas in from the vineyard, and if I had to put that inside, then I need more square footage that I have to cool and refrigerate and all the rest of it, which makes more greenhouse gases. So I don't want to do that. And I can see how that language is, if it was read too restrictively, it could be really draconian. So if I were taking up this list, restoring this list, I would either dramatically modify that or remove it, because it's not really sensible for a lot of operations that it's just not realistic and necessary to run them indoors.
Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable. This, like I said, came from Contra Costa County, where they probably had a different industrial base and different type.
Well, maybe they had a different definition of industrial process. If you're making steel, you don't do it outside.
Right.
But if you're processing an agricultural commodity, and you're still required to be protective of water quality, I don't know. I don't see how this helps us.
Okay.
I think the city's going to be addressing that as well as perhaps some others, so maybe we should hear from folks. And
we'll do. Any more questions for staff at this point?
Cards.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you. Chairman?
Yes.
Let me know when you want to proceed.
Oh, excuse me. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman. Okay. Board. My name is Carl Nizawa. I believe you remember me from a couple months ago. I'm the Deputy City Engineer with the City of Salinas. I'm here with Chris Callahan. He's the Deputy City Attorney. And in the back, we have Harvey Oslick. He's an expert with regards to hydrology in the Salinas area. As staff had indicated, the Salinas area is subject to a lot of floods, and there has been a lot of studies with regards to that issue in the Salinas area. We lost it again. I was going to enter. Let me just try it again here.
Maybe we could just use those birds.
Yeah, really. I might have to.
As long as the canary doesn't fall there, it's okay.
That's right. Okay. 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 Would you like me to proceed?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. I'm grateful for staff's introduction there. I don't have to go through the hydrology of the area, but one important fact I want to make clear is that the listed requirements that were put in the staff's recommendation are new requirements that had not been gone through the process of being reviewed by staff, reviewed by the public, reviewed by the stakeholders, and they really amount to, in addition to the Salinas NPDES program, basically a sidestep in addition to the permit requirements of Salinas, and as such, we object to that, the additions on that basis. In fact, obviously many of the additions had not been seen before. And when we had seen it, and some of the communities had seen it, strongly objected to it because these are new requirements. They're somewhat, in our thoughts, somewhat arbitrary because there are some thoughts that came into, well, let's add this to the standards. Like Dr. Press had mentioned, there were some comments with regards to gas stations, for example. They were, on the face of it, they looked decent. But the fact of the matter is, many source control, there are a whole bunch of source control stuff out there. They're all finely and exactly detailed in the CASWA document. A gas station in Salinas is not much different from gas stations throughout the state, and a very good document is produced. There's no reason why Salinas has to go through the engineering exercise of recreating something that's already been done very well. That's why we reference the CASWA standards in our document. With regards to BMPs, Dr. Press, best management practices, not source control issues, are in our document. We detail those to the extent that we need to, and the extent that how those apply to the Salinas area. So, with regards to best management practices, implementation for water treatment devices, swales, et cetera, those are detailed in our document. But standard source control like gas stations are detailed elsewhere, and we reference them and we use that as a standard. Let me go back to how this document was created. This document is a creation of this board. It's staff hired a consultant, Kennedy Jenks, to create this document. They worked under the direction of staff. So the way in which the document is put together, the matrix, et cetera, is staff directed. In fact, it can be implied in the permit that that's the way that this document is supposed to be put together. The fact that there are other opinions on how they're supposed to be done, that's good, or that we should go to what Contra Costa did, that those are good opinions. However, the way in which this document was put together was directed by staff, and it was put together by Kenny Jinks to meet the permit. After it was submitted to Salinas, rehired directly Kennedy Jinks, basically to improve the document to make it one in which we could go forward with development standards. That is where we are today, and obviously an iterative number of improvements requested by ward staff. So how this document got to where it is really is a lot from staff input. So for the board to say, no, we wanted something different, well, you know, we can do that. It's going to delay the document, but understand that this involved this board, this staff. You know, the Kennedy Jinks was hired by the board. Kennedy Jinks produced a document. We hired them again to basically finish it. We brought in the stormwater aspect from our engineering standards because we wanted to integrate one document for both, because it was very important for us to have one document with regards to stormwater, the development style, so they didn't have to look at two different documents and kind of figure out what they should do. We integrated one so that the development engineer understood that this is one set of requirements. Let me see if I can get this to...
Let's do that. Let's use your flash drive to load your presentation onto our computer.
I'm going to have to load it on a flash drive.
We have a flash drive here, if you need one.
Okay. I apologize.
So yours seems to be recycled.
It's on your computer.
All right.
Since we have a little break in the action, I should have mentioned at the outset that the city and Steve Shemek made requests for additional time today, and I went over those with the chair, and so the end result of that is that the city is allowed 20 minutes, and we stopped the clock here, and Steve Shemek is allowed 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
There he is.
Okay. Let's continue.
Just to recast, one of the main issues we had with the recommended additions was the fact that this is the first time we had seen it. They represent additions to the program that we had not had a chance to comment in. The stakeholders had not a chance to look at. The general public really hadn't a chance to weigh in on this. And the expert who was hired by Steve Shemek to do this, he had done this in isolation. And I think that resulted in the comments that you've seen because they were done from afar. The main issue that we see with regards to the recommendations is the implementation of hotter modification solutions for the stated purpose of stream and stream bank erosion and the secondary purpose to prevent sedimentations of creeks and streams. The problems with these hydro modifications is, one, they don't work in Salinas as intended. They're extremely costly and burdensome to development. They can negatively impact flood control. And the state of practice for hydro modification is currently in flux. As you probably heard in other hearings, there's been a lot of questions about that. The staff has talked about the hydro modification as basically keeping the current hydrograph, What we'll find in hydromodification, that is actually not what happens. It actually is different. In terms of extremely costly, Kennedy Jinks has a sub-consultant that was requested to look at what it would take to do it. And basically, he said the imposition of modeling requirement without specification of modeling techniques to be used creates the likelihood of inconsistent, inappropriate, or erroneous results. Provisions of standards for modeling is essential to obtaining results which will withstand scrutiny. While a regional model is not required, it would ensure consistency and reduce the burden on the individual developer. The cost of a regional model will be as large as $1 million, and the time frame, basically a year, to obtain an operational and validated model. Now, I don't think that that's what folks are intending. Certainly, hydromodification is not listed in our permit. This is a huge requirement. It doesn't work. Typically, in the Bay Area, to prevent stream and creek erosion, the goal here is to limit the site discharge to 1/10 of the 2-year flow. That is not matching hydrograph. That is preventing off-site erosion. The whole goal of modeling is to model the output of the site and to prevent creek and stream erosion. In Salinas, this doesn't help. I mean, the image of a stream right next to a site is that works. But here in Salinas, with the huge watershed that was shown, the water, the erosive water volumes come from upstream, not from local.